Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Francis, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I'm so excited to have you join me.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. I love to have people with me that have conquered Lyme. It is such a, I don't even know what to call this disease, a little bit of everything, right?
It's a monster is what it is.
A monster. There you go. So where should we start? When did your journey start? Do you remember the tick bite, or kind of take us from where it all started for you?
Sure. You know, in my situation, I do not recall ever being bitten by a tick. I can look over my past medical history, and in my 20s, I think that's when I started developing symptoms, but I wasn't aware that they were symptoms associated with Lyme.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until 2015, I had just returned from vacation with a few friends. We went out to Miami, and then we took a cruise ship to Cozumel and Key West. And 3 weeks exactly after that trip, I was completely bedridden, and I couldn't understand. Yeah, I could. It came upon very suddenly. What had happened is I had noticed that as I was walking through the parking lot to get to work, or having to walk up some of the ramps which had inclines, all of a sudden I was struggling. My muscles felt really, really heavy and weak. It felt like I was walking with a pair of tree trunks, you know, wrapped around my leg. And then, you know, my heart rate started going up, and I was an avid runner. So I was used to, you know, running 3 miles, probably 3 times a week, every time I would go out to run. And I used to work out, so I didn't understand what was happening to me.
Why? Yeah, exactly. You can't even walk up a little incline ramp without being out of breath. Yeah. Or so did you have pain with that, or was it just the heaviness?
No, it was both. It was a lot of pain associated with my muscles as well. And it started to attack the trunk area of my body from shoulder to hips. And so I was struggling lifting anything over my head, and it just kept increasing to the point where, as I became bedridden, I couldn't barely even hold a brush to brush my hair and a toothbrush to brush my teeth. I had to suddenly buy me a shower chair. I had to have somebody give me a ride to work every day because I couldn't hold on to the wheel without being in severe pain. So, you know, of course I got really scared.
Rapid. Yeah.
I had no idea what was happening. And, I did immediately schedule an appointment with my primary care physician, and, they seemed to have recognized some of the symptoms as an autoimmune, referred to as myositis. And that's where, you know, the immune system turns on the muscles in your body and starts breaking down the muscles.
Okay.
And so it was, I had to get a biopsy done in my leg, and that's where I just ended up bedridden for an entire week. I literally could not get myself out of bed. I struggled just to turn over and, you know, scoop myself off the side of the bed just to get out. And so that kind of began my journey. They immediately put me on steroids, high dosage of steroids.
Oh, and we didn't know that it was Lyme, and that wasn't good. So
not good. Yeah. So they were trying to control the inflammation and to ease the pain, which it helped. But eventually I was referred to a rheumatologist and he told me, you know, we can't keep you on steroids long term, so we're going to have to take you off of the steroids. And when they began weaning me off the steroids, all my symptoms started coming back.
Oh, okay. So now, yeah. Did you have any increased symptoms? Did you have any brain fog? Or
yes. Okay. Yes, yes. All of the lovely symptoms associated with Lyme. So I was having loss of memory. When I was trying to complete sentences, I would forget in the middle of the sentence, you know, the direction that I was going to complete a sentence. I started forgetting names of simple things. It was terrible. I had a lot of brain fog. I was having heart palpitations. I was having air hunger. And, you know, of course, my primary care physician just said that I was having a lot of anxiety and they wanted to put me on Xanax and things like that. But I had experienced anxiety before. And these are symptoms I would wake up with first thing in the morning, as soon as I got out of bed, and I had nothing to be anxious about. So right. I knew that it wasn't anxiety. It certainly didn't feel the same as having anxious thoughts. So, coincidentally, I just so happened to meet my boyfriend in May the following month, who is now my husband, and he is a filmmaker and had been interviewing patients for a documentary that he had previously been working on and discovered Lyme disease. And he was interviewing cancer patients, and some of the cancer patients had Lyme disease, which was making it twice as hard for them to overcome cancer.
Okay.
And so he interviewed so many of them that he started recognizing the symptoms from the stories they would tell. And it was over a period of months that he kept telling me, you know, the symptoms you described to me sound very much like these people that I've been interviewing. You really ought to consider getting tested for Lyme. And
wow, I mean, what a connection there, you yeah. know, and that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast, is to, you know, share your guys's journey and your symptoms. And so hopefully it will help those listeners who maybe don't know what's wrong with them, you know, yeah. kind of connect the dots like your now husband did. So that's right. Great.
Right. It took him 7 months to convince me.
Oh, no.
At that point, I was seeing a rheumatologist. I was seeing a neuromuscular specialist. I was seeing my primary care physician, and they were all treating me for this autoimmune, but I wasn't really getting better. You know, the steroids were just suppressing all of the inflammation. And of course, I didn't realize at the time they were suppressing my immune system as well, which is not good. Right. And when I started weaning off the steroids and all my symptoms started coming back, that's when I decided to finally get tested for Lyme disease. And lo and behold, of course, I was off the charts for Babesia, Bartonella, Borrelia, EBV, and a couple of other things. And
okay, so do you recall what test did you go through, Igenix?
I went through Igenix initially, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I have since been tested two other times. So I've already been through three different labs, which all confirm, you know, the same result.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So you finally get your diagnosis.
Yeah.
And so from the time you got back from your vacation, when things really kind of hit you, how long was that time frame?
Diagnosed with myositis to the time I was diagnosed with Lyme disease?
Yes.
It was about 7 months. So in April, on April 1st is when I got my diagnosis for the myositis. And then in November is when I tested for Lyme disease. And
okay.
then I began treatment in February of 2016.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you kind of had... I mean, no part of that, I'm sure, was easy, but for a lot of people, that was kind of a quick diagnosis.
It was. Yeah,
so,
very thankful.
There's anything to be grateful for in this disease, right? That might be one of them.
I believe so, because by the time I went in for treatment, my immune system was terrible. I showed up with a sinus infection. I showed up with an ear infection, and I was fighting off the flu, and I was a mess. I wasn't able to function. I had been working full time as a legal assistant in a law firm, which there, you know, requires you to multitask daily
and have a quick thinking brain and a sharp brain. Right.
That's when I realized when I initially enjoyed the work. Now I found that when I would go to work, it became too stressful, and it was contributing to my symptoms that much more because of the amount of stress and, you know, with deadlines and pressures that happen in the workplace, and especially in the law firm.
I can absolutely relate to that. I was in the legal field as well when I got sick.
Oh, boy.
And
wow.
I battled for 7 years undiagnosed. And I remember vividly, it was one day I was in court and the judge asked my name and who I represented, and I didn't know my name.
Oh, man.
And that was when I thought, okay, I don't know what it is. And these doctors keep telling me it's anxiety or fibromyalgia. I'm like, I've got my number one focus has to be on figuring out what's wrong with me and getting better. So I absolutely can relate to that. You know, you can't let any I's go undotted when you're when you're working in the legal field.
Yes.
So then you eventually had to quit working.
Yeah. So I took some time off to go through treatment. I ended up going the route of IV antibiotics. And so it was kind of like a crash course, you know, of 3 to 4 months worth of treatment. So I ended up losing my job because, you know, FMLA or something?
Yes, FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. Thank you. Yeah, we both had a little line brain there.
It only lasted for 3 months. I was in treatment for 4 months, and I had at that time transferred from Colorado to Arizona to get treatment. So I was in no condition to return back to work. Going through treatment was exhaustive. It was extremely rough. And I was worse off going through treatment than I had been prior to. So,
right. So now, yeah, your treatment with the antibiotics, was that, what type of doctor was that from? Just a regular MD or?
Was an LLMD,
okay.
Particular clinic that caters to patients with Lyme disease.
Okay.
So they were very familiar with the level of treatment that I needed, but it was a lot. Mm-hmm. It was like going to work full time every day. I was at the clinic 5 days out of the week.
Okay.
I was eating antibiotics and a bunch of immunotherapy like 6 hours a day. So it was a huge overload on my system.
Okay. And at that time, did they also test you for like heavy metals or parasites or?
Yes. Yeah, they tested me for everything. So, I had candida. I did have some heavy metals. We went through chelation. I don't recall having parasites, but you know, the fun thing with detoxing is you learn that there's a lot of things that come out of your body. So there were a couple of times where I'm like, are you sure I don't have parasites? Because it sure appears that way.
Right. No, a lot of things with Lyme, when you're having a conversation with somebody, I kind of just got to say, you know, it's a lot of TMI, but.
Yes. Yeah, right. There were a lot of things that I was very shy of sharing with family and friends exactly what I was experiencing and going through, because I had never anticipated anything like that, and had never, before I was diagnosed, I had heard of Lyme disease, but I had no idea what it was.
And no idea.
Now,
and
through.
Yeah. And you really, I always say, I don't know where I heard the phrase, but you don't get it till you get it.
Yes,
I mean, absolutely. You know, as much as like Dr. Carl felt, for an example, he's such an empathetic and compassionate doctor, but he's never had Lyme. You know, he can only imagine, and it just, we can explain away until we're blue in the face, but until you walk a day in our shoes, it's really kind of unbelievable the things that we say we are going through, because I don't know if I would believe someone, some of the things I said. It sounds crazy. So,
it is crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so you did the 5 days a week for 4 months of antibiotics, and then where were you at?
Well, then, you know, after treatment, I thought that I was going to come out of treatment like Superwoman, you know, just ready to hit the road running again. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case. And I learned the hard way how much my diet affected my my wellness and my health. While I was treating, I was in the process of changing my diet, but I had a hard time letting things go. Like, I'm a huge cheese lover, and dairy causes a lot of inflammation in the body. And I thought that it was okay to still, you know,
have a little here and there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, I wasn't eating it every day, but I was cheating every week, you know, with different things that I had been told that I needed to eliminate from my diet. So I hadn't officially eliminated those things. And my health had improved. I got to the point where I was functional again, but I still wasn't in remission.
So
the antibiotic treatment helped me to function again, where I was able now to spend my weekends going out, running errands and taking care of myself and taking care of my home and doing those types of things.
The normal basic things.
Yeah, but I still had a lot of neurological issues, a lot of, I was still experiencing a lot of neuroborreliosis.
Yeah, I was going to start to say it, but I knew I would fumble it too. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, a lot of the neurological symptoms. So I was struggling a lot with depression and anxiety and PTSD. And in my case, I was even experiencing Lyme rage. And I think that was the most difficult for me, because I didn't understand how I was acting out so abruptly and so easily, and I would have such a difficult time controlling that. And so I think with not completely cleaning up my diet, some of those factors were still contributing to my overall health and not being able to reach remission.
Right.
At the time.
And you brought up a couple of good things. Diet is so important. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, if we don't feel good, what do we want? We want our favorite foods. But, you know, for those listeners out there, it is so important to your healing is your diet.
Absolutely. Yes.
It is a game changer. And then the other thing you brought up was, you know, the anxiety, the depression, the rage. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like experiencing that Lyme rage?
Yeah, it was really scary, because I didn't recognize myself, and I felt like I had lost control. So when I would get triggered, my emotions, instead of gradually increasing, I would go from like 0 to 10, like that. You know, and there was no in between. I would just immediately become agitated, irritated, and constantly in a fight or flight mode is what it was. And I could feel it in my body. My body was just all revved up all the time. And whenever I was experiencing that, I also felt like I experienced some disassociation where, you know, it was almost like I stepped outside of myself and I couldn't really figure out what was going on as far as like being able to control my emotions or calm myself down. I literally would have to take Xanax and other things just to eventually calm myself down. And it would take a good anywhere from like 20 minutes to 2 hours before I would come back to a normal state. And that was all very scary because I was triggered often and I didn't understand what was happening to me. And I didn't know how to communicate or share any of this with family or friends because I was so embarrassed and ashamed of my behavior. And so it was a secret, you know, like I opened up to a few people in the Lyme community who had experience and who could relate, but even they didn't have the answers on how to overcome that. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's gotta be very scary to, you know, it's that depersonalization. It's such a real thing with Lyme patients, and to have, you know, when you have normal anger, it's kind of like you get this boiling point, you know, and eventually you've had enough. And so we can kind of get a hold of that and realize, okay, I'm really mad about this. And all right, you know, and then you think about it again later. But in your case, you didn't have that opportunity. You went from 0 to 10. And that's just got to be so scary, you know, to know you have no control over that.
And it sounded like such a cop-out because I do remember at one time sharing with a friend and she just could not relate. She was insistent upon the fact that I had some control over it, you know, that I needed to take responsibility for my actions. And I'm like, yes, I understand that, but I don't know how to control this. And I just remember feeling like my brain was on fire. And also I was unable to rationalize and to think logically. Mm-hmm. And so it was very scary. Difficult to reason with me. Right. I wasn't able to reason in those moments.
Right.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I could imagine. Gosh. So luckily I didn't experience the Lyme rage, but I could, you know, I went through the whole thing. And like you, I was embarrassed. I got to a point where I was suicidal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kept that a secret from my family for many years. Yeah. And, you know, once I got better, I thought, you know, something just made my mission helping people with Lyme and advocating and educating for it. And that's when I opened up about my suicide, because I think it's so important for people to know that it's not really you. It's the Lyme that has affected your brain, because my goodness, I've never understood how people commit suicide. I'm like, I can't wrap my head around that. Well, get Lyme and you might be able to, because it's a real thing. So where did you go from that after treatment? You got your diet cleaned up, except for those few cheat days here and there. I'm sure you eventually got it all clean.
Yes. Yes. Of course I realized how much, I mean, it took some trial and error, but it seemed like one of the easiest ways for me to determine that it was directly associated with my diet is every time my husband and I would go traveling, I would not be under my regular regimen. Mm-hmm. And I would start eating things that were not a part of my normal diet or things that I didn't keep in my home. And then I would come back and I would suffer for like 2 or 3 weeks and I would just be in pain. And I had a lot of digestive issues and sometimes the muscle pain would come back. And I even remember having new symptoms. One of the things that is really common for Lyme patients is the pain in the neck and the back and the shoulders. I never had that initially, but it wasn't until after the first round of treatment and then, you know, not cleaning up my diet effectively that I began to experience new symptoms. So with that, I decided to go on an herbal protocol.
Okay.
And it was a 9-month protocol and I actually did 2 rounds of it. I think I gave myself maybe like a 6 or a 9-month break in between. And
was it the specific protocol? Was it the Buhner, the Cowden? Okay. The
Cowden protocol, yes. And with that, I kind of overdid it again because I did follow the directions, but with the Cowden support, you self-treat. And at that time I was no longer going to the clinic. So I didn't really have an LLMD, you know, residing over me and helping me understand how to take the protocol. What I have learned now after the fact is that when you start to HERCS and when you start to detox, you should minimize the amount of intake, herbal intake, or you should slow down. Instead, I just kept going and I just kept adding more and more every day.
And so
the HERCS thing was tremendous.
So that's a good point that, you know, when we have Lyme, we're so desperate to get rid of it that we think, you know, if we're on a killing regimen, we're like, just kill, 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 kill. Yeah. Or if we're detoxing, you know, you can over detox just as easily as you can overkill. And what people need to understand is that you're really not doing yourself any favors. You're actually working against yourself. So that was a good point to make. When you're on those tinctures or supplements, you know, when it says to have one or two drops and then wait a week and add another, it's very important to do that. And then when you're in a herxing point, chill out right there for a little bit.
Right. I didn't do that.
And you learn the hard way.
I kept adding more and more. And I thought the more, the better. You know?
Right. And usually in most things, that's the case. But certainly not with Lyme. Well, nothing's normal about Lyme.
Yeah. So after my first round on the Cowden protocol, I had started noticing some improvements. And I still wasn't in remission. I would say I kept fluctuating between 80 and 90%.
Okay.
And for
and that's
a long
pretty
time,
good.
I was 90%. And then once I finally finished the second round is when I think I really started managing my care. I was doing well managing my diet, my eating. I had eliminated everything that was inflammatory. And one of the things that I swear by that really, really helped me was I started juicing. I started doing beet juice with ginger and turmeric. And what I noticed is that during those times where I was highly inflamed, I could feel it. Sometimes I'd wake up and my whole body would be swollen. My face would be swollen. My hands would be swollen. My belly, would look like I was pregnant.
Yes.
So swollen and inflamed all over. And then I would just go on a juice fast for like a week and it would bring all the, and then I would heavily detox, of course, as well. Coffee enemas became my best friend. For some reason, they really work well with me.
Yes.
So I was doing all the things that I needed to do to detox. And I think once I started realizing what worked for me and what wasn't working, and through a process of elimination.
Kind of trial and error. Yeah.
Yeah. I started to really manage my health and my care. And that's when I started to eventually stabilize. And it was so I began treatment in 2016. It took an entire 3 years of treating and it was very, very rough. But by 2019, all of the neurological symptoms finally started to dissipate.
Okay.
One by one, little by little over the months, I just started recognizing that, you know, more and more I was experiencing less depression and less anxiety and less episodes of the rage. And eventually, when we were not having neurological symptoms anymore at all, I don't have any of the muscular issues anymore. I do have to be very careful with my digestive system. You know, I think with Lyme patients, being on and off antibiotics, it really messes up the gut.
Absolutely.
And we really have to take care of that. And so that's something that I still manage, you know, every day, is just making sure that I'm taking care of my gut and healing that area.
And what does that look like for you? So what types of things do you do to keep your gut health good?
So I'm still on a lot of the supplements that I had been taking throughout my regimen, but specifically for my gut, you know, I do the probiotics, I do the digestive enzymes, I use slippery elm, which is supposed to help repair.
Yes.
And then I do a lot of juicing. And then, you know, sometimes I struggle because I love nuts so much, but I have tried to eliminate all the lectins from my diet because it took me the longest time to realize that lectins were really, really causing a lot of the inflammation and the bloating that I was experiencing. So, you know, those are things like legumes and nuts and tomatoes, nightshades, things like that. So I eventually had to take all of that out of my diet as well.
Yeah.
For a long time, I was hooked on hummus and I would eat hummus every day thinking, oh, this is vegan, it's natural, it's good. And didn't realize that it was not supporting me very well.
Supporting. Yeah. It's kind of like it is a trial and error, you know, because no one person is the same with Lyme. And, you know, like dairy never affected me. I never had a problem. But some people, you know, like you said, you paid for it for 2-3 weeks. So you kind of just got to figure out your own diet as far as what affects you. Obviously, you know, get rid of the inflammation types of foods. But other than that, you really just, it's so individualized. You know, our stories are so, so much the same, but yet so very different.
Right, right. We all have different symptoms. There's like a cord that runs through all of us that is very similar, but like you say, all the symptoms are very different for each person. It's very individualized.
So are you back to work now?
Well, now I never went back to the legal industry, which I'm very happy about that because it was a full load. And it took me a long time to be able to multitask again. I'm able to do those things now, but not quite the same way that I used to be. My mind still isn't, you know, as sharp as it was before Lyme, but I'm a whole lot better. But now I am a full-time photographer. I primarily do portrait and wedding photography, and that's been a blessing in my life because I work from home. I get to set my own hours.
Not that stress. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's important. You know, so many people go through this journey and they're like, okay, I'm all better. And then they think they can go back to their old life.
No.
And it truly is a lifestyle disease.
Yes.
It changes everything. I mean, you know, I'm in remission and I still do some form of detox every day. And
so
people ask me why. And I'm like, well, I just went through the 13 most miserable years of my life. And I'll do whatever I need to do not to go back there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you find yourself, I know with me personally, I didn't have a lot of confidence. Once I got better, I was always questioning my Lyme brain, I guess, so to say. And that was hard to kind of get that confidence back that, no, you know, you are smart. You do remember these things. Did you struggle with that at all?
Yes, I did, big time. And it was in a lot of areas. You know, first of all, with the prednisone, I blew up. I got the moon face. And then I gained about 40 pounds. And then everybody talks about this who's experienced Lyme diseases. You feel like it ages you, especially when you're in the thick of it. And so there were mornings I'd get up and I didn't even recognize the woman in the mirror, you know, and those years that I treated, I felt like they were just a blur. Like I had missed out on all the moments in my life because most of the time I was in bed. You know, I didn't leave my house, and I didn't associate with many people because I had moved to another state. And so I didn't have my friends and family living in the same state. So I kind of, I was very isolated going through this, just my husband and myself. And so again, going back to looking in the mirror, I suddenly had no confidence because I didn't like the way I looked. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way I felt. I couldn't do all the things that I was used to doing. Like, you know, I would see somebody running on the side of the road, and there in the early days, I would cry because I knew that was something I couldn't do anymore. And then with my mobility, I used to fall a lot. I was very unstable. So if I would be walking down the sidewalk and there was, normal people would trip over an uneven sidewalk, they would trip and catch their balance. I wasn't able to catch my balance, and I would fall and skin my knees. And then I couldn't get up off the floor. I would need help. So my confidence was completely shattered.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever think that I would be normal ever again. I went through a very, very dark time with Lyme disease where I didn't think I was going to make it out. I didn't know if I was going to live. There were so many moments where I didn't want to live anymore. Yeah. And I can relate to you with the suicidal thoughts, because there were times where I had intrusive thoughts. I would just be driving down the highway and I had so many intrusive thoughts coming through my mind. I didn't even know where they were coming from, because normally I didn't think that way. Mm-hmm. But it was, the depression was strange because I didn't feel like I was unhappy because I was had an unhappy life. You know, I've done a lot of traveling. I had a great job. I was pursuing
but
photography.
But still, it feels kind of unfair. You know?
But it just, the depression was clinical, and it was just something that was happening in my body that I, couldn't control. So yes, the confidence was terrible.
Well, I love hearing that you have a low stress job, something that's got to be super fun. And you're maintaining your health and your diet so that we can stay Lyme free. It's fantastic.
Yes.
So I just love how you met your husband. I just think that, you know, I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason, and everybody we meet, there's a reason they came into our lives. And, you know, he could have saved you many years of going down a rabbit hole trying to figure out that you had Lyme. So...
He was there for me the entire time through treatment, and he was extremely supportive. I mean, I don't think I would have been able to make it out without him.
That's amazing. Amazing. So there's some exciting news that I'd like you to talk a little bit about. So you had mentioned earlier that your husband is a filmmaker, and I hear that something is going to be coming out soon. What do you got going on over there?
Well, we are very excited because this has been 5 years in the making. From start to finish, he filmed my entire journey. And then I joined him on that journey. And together we traveled throughout the United States interviewing doctors and patients who struggle with Lyme. And we now have a Lyme disease documentary called The Monster Inside Me. And we are premiering it beginning April 20th, and we will be visiting 7 different states where we will be having, premiere at the movies. And then it is available online worldwide on May 20th.
Oh my gosh, that is such exciting news. Wow, I cannot wait to watch that. So we will definitely put that information in the title to your podcast so that these listeners can jump on there when it's released. How exciting and how wonderful of your husband to do this with you. And gosh, I'm up here in Idaho. So if you guys happen to be doing a premiere in Idaho, be sure to let me know.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't go everywhere. We've picked a lot of the major Lyme states on the East Coast. And then I'm from Colorado and we're here in Arizona now. So we'll be showcasing it in both of those states as well.
Okay.
But we are going to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to Harrisburg. We're going to Richfield, Connecticut. We're going to New York and to Boston. I think that's all of them.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm such a huge advocate for Lyme, and the gentleman I met through Facebook, who also kind of shares that passion with me, JP, he lives in Pittsburgh. I will definitely have to let him know. If I can't see it, I guess I'll let him see it.
You'll be able to have access to it on May 20th. And the crazy thing, if I may add, in the beginning, I didn't want to go through with this because, you know, my husband literally had a camera in my face all the time. And when you're going through herxing and treatment and detoxing, it's excruciating and you don't want to be in front of the camera and you don't feel good or look good. But what sold me on it is back in November 2016, he asked me if I'd be willing to share a trailer online. And within hours, we got 1,000 views. And then suddenly people started coming forward as they witnessed me, you know, having symptoms in front of the camera. People were saying, oh my gosh, that's me. That's exactly what I'm going through. And then that was it. I was sold. I said, okay, let's do this
together.
Look
at all the people you're helping.
Yeah. And now we have about 20,000 Facebook followers. And we're just hoping to bring hope to the community what we like to say is you have to pierce through the darkness, because there is definitely a dark point in going through Lyme, but you have to pierce through the darkness and you have to, you know, come over to the other side eventually, where there is hope. You have to keep believing, you can't give up. And, you know, we talk about a lot of these things in the documentary. So we're really excited and we really hope that people, especially family and friends and those with Lyme, are able to see it and able to gain hope from it.
Absolutely. Those are great tips. And so you mentioned your Facebook. Where can people follow you on Facebook?
We are The Monster Inside Me Movie on both Instagram and Facebook. And then we have a website, which right now we are selling all the movie tickets to our events, and that is themonsterinsideme.com.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, Frances, thank you so much for your time. What an incredible journey you've been through. I am over the moon excited for you and your husband for this movie to come out. I can't wait to watch it. Movie, documentary, whatever you want to call it. That is just fantastic news. I love how so many people that get on the other side of Lyme, kind of like something in their life or their passion kind of changes and evolves over what we've gone through. So
level of empathy now that I never had before.
Right. And I'm sure your documentary is going to help so many give that hope and inspiration. And then hopefully help the families that struggle to really understand what we go through, because that's so important.
Yes.
It's going to be incredible to see. So congratulations to you. Thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thekarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeld.